be now this week what we're going to be talking about. We went through all the Deiris HaRishonim, the Chazal, Deiris Rishonim, and last week was the big finale, so to speak. How great our generation is. It's true that we're a small generation, but the Nisyonos are awesome. And the gauge of the greatness of a generation is how much they're willing and able to endure the Nisyonos, the challenges of the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously believes in us very much because he placed us in a very, very difficult situation. And Rav Yerucham says that whoever becomes a real Ben Torah, somebody who's committed to Torah and mitzvahs, all the 613 commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the Durabanans, someone whose first and foremost priority in life is Ratzon Hashem, and he's not mevater on such a thing, despite all the outside influences, such a person might be greater than the very earliest Doris of Klal Yisrael. This was something we could not say on our own, but it is said by Rav Yerucham in Das Torah in Parsha Shlach, and it makes a lot of sense based on all of the challenges that we're going through. I couldn't help myself. I want to be Mamshech the Sugya further. And there's going to be a little bit of a sting in the sugya that we're going to talk about now. And we're going to talk more about the nisyonos of the time. Not the nisyon of Shmiras Einayim, not the nisyonos of all sorts of gadgets, v'chulei, but a totally different nisyon, which Chazal themselves say is the nisyon of our generation. And whoever makes it out of this nisyon, just like we talked about last week, is a hero, is bigger than the earlier generations. But we first need to diagnose the generation. If we had to make a flag for our generation, right? Make a nice flag, the Israelis have a flag. We'll make a flag for our generation. It's nice to have flags. Look, we had flags in the Midbar. Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich once made a flag. He was trying to make everybody happy. He had some, you know, Mizrahi people come in and people who are against it. So he made his own flag. It said, Zichru Teres Moshe Avdi. I think he ended up offending everybody. Everyone was upset with the flag. But a flag. What would be the flag of our generation? What is the best reflection of our dar? Well, maybe a lion, right? You know, a lion, Yehuda, a lion. We don't have a lion on here, but it's a... So unfortunately, if we would make a flag, it's not my idea, don't shoot me. We would make a flag of a dog. A dog, that would be our flag. I don't know which dog, what kind of dog. Everyone has their favorites, a Chihuahua, or, you know, Lassie, or Snoopy. I don't know who it would be, but a dog. This would be our Degel. What? What does that mean? It's a Mishnah. Chazal say at the end of Saita, they say the following thing. They say, what's going to happen in the end of days? Rabosai, we're there. We're in the end of days. The Chafetz Chaim said that we're there, then we're really there. We're really there. And these words are more true than ever. What's going to happen? Narim pnei zekenim yalbinu. Children will mock older people. Zekenim yamdu mipnei ktanim. There will be situations where elderly people will have to get up for small people. Ben menavel aviv. Children will be disrespectful to their parents in a totally disgraceful way. Bas kama be'ima kala b'chamosa. Everybody's going to fight. Pnei hador, the face of the generation. The face, right? When you go and create an advertisement, so you go to an advertising firm, they go, what's the face of your company? What do you represent? And then the advertising firm figures out exactly how they can reflect your face. The face of our generation, the Pnei Hadar, is Kipnei HaKelef, is the face of a dog. So the question is, what does this mean? And if we unlock what this means, the face of a dog, we're going to have a lot of Siyata Dishmaya Bezus Hashem to schlep ourselves out of the face of the generation. What is a dog? Okay, we're gonna, I'm not a zoologist, so bear with me. I'm not gonna talk about the anatomy of a dog, but I'm gonna tell you what Chazal tell us about the yesodos of a dog. First of all, I live on Rehov Ramat HaGolan, and there still are a few dogs left. Most of the secular people have dogs. When I came, it shows you how much everybody's cleared out. When I came, it was like dogs, dogs here, dogs there, dogs everywhere. There was mamish, it was you were afraid to go outside from all the dogs. Now there are a couple. And I'm going on Shabbos night, I go with my daughters for walks. We switch off which daughter, which son. And I'm going, and all of a sudden, this dog barks like meshuggah, scares the living daylight. Oh, it's Kaseder. What's his problem? I'm going with my daughter on a walk. We're having a nice time. I've never seen a cow do something like that. I mean, not that I live on a kibbutz, but cows do not do that. I took my kids to a kibbutz Lavi. We went out there, and the cows, it's, you know, if you have some hay, they come over. No. What's this problem? Trying to walk with my daughter. Not a threat to this dog. And he's sticking his head out of this mechitza, out of this fence, and trying to get us. Why isn't he staying inside? What is this schuna? And the pshat is that the yesod is a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says in Yeshaya, in Perek Nun Vav, the following thing. It's a gemara in Beitza that says it too, based on this pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'ha'kolavim aze nefesh." The kolavim are brazen, and in fact, the Gemara says in Beitza that the most brazen animal is a dog. A dog doesn't want to be contained. He doesn't want to stay in his place. He wants to break the separation between me and you. There's no separation. I'm breaking every mechitza, every boundary. I'm crossing every line. That is what a dog is. His whole matara, his kalbin de chatzufin, the chutzpah de dogs, the Zohar says. Their whole job is to encroach on things that are not theirs, on places that they shouldn't be. And they're us. That is their metzias, the brazenness. Yeah, I'm going on a walk with my kid. But what are you doing near my house? What are you doing on the street? It's a public property. Dogs aren't happy with me being over there. Get out of my metzias, get out of my life. You don't belong here. What do you mean I don't belong? You don't belong here. Take a hike. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. That's his metzias. And Rashi says in Sanhedrin on Sadi Zion, what does it mean, Pnei Hador, Kipnei HaKelef, that the generation is like dogs? Lo Yisbaishu Zemizeh, they have no shame. Right? A lot of times you see a guy do something, you're like, guy has no shame. I can't believe he just did that. What did he do? He broke the fence. That's exactly what he did. Everyone has certain lines, has certain boundaries. And then there's the dog. He just sick him. He just goes. He breaks the fence. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to know this guy right now. Can't believe he just said that to Rebbe. I can't believe he just did that at the Shabbos table. I can't believe he just made that spectacle of himself. There are lines. There are not necessarily physical mechitzas, but there are lines that are created, and the dog breaks all lines. The lines are real. They're more real than physical fences. And that's his metzias. He crosses the line. And this is every part of the Mishnah over here, which we're going to discuss. Fathers and sons. Sometimes it's happened where a son has called his father, even where we are, and it's been heard that he's spoken to his father with his name. He's not dad. He's Al. Come on, Al. I'm tired of this. What? This is your father. My father. He had me fine, but Seder, it's over. It's over. Now we'll drink a beer together. He crosses the line. It's not my dad. And you know what? Sometimes fathers do the same things to their sons. Sometimes the ketanim are getting up for the zakenim. Sometimes they're so afraid of offending their son. Can I do anything more for you? Would you like? Please don't hurt me. Don't hurt me, my son. You're supposed to be a father. We find the most disturbed people are the people who are not looking for a friend. They're looking for a dad, somebody to give them instructions. All lines totally being crossed. A zaken, somebody who's elderly. So he's old. I'm young. Lines, there are lines, and the dog crosses them. And the truth is, Perhaps this is pshat in a pasuk, geshmak. It says in Parshas Bo, Hashem we're describing over here how smooth it's going to be when Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim. So what does it say over there? It says you're going to go out of Mitzrayim, and no dog is going to bark. That's exactly what it says. No dog is going to bark against you. That's how we're describing Gulas Mitzrayim. No dog is going to bark. There are plenty of milas. There are plenty of wonderful things that are going to happen over here. And that's what the pasuk says. And the pshat is pashut. You think a cow is going to stand in the way of Klal Yisrael now? Cows are running. All the herds are going. Klal Yisrael has proven themselves. There have been 10 makas. Every little ant on the... Every lion, every tiger, every bear is out of here. Klal Yisrael's going. They're just going and doing hishtachavaya to Klal Yisrael. There's only one animal who's unimpressed. That dog. That dog, he doesn't care. So what if Hashem's in the world? So what? And in fact, the Medrash compares Amalek to a dog. Because Amalek were the only ones who said, big deal. There are no boundaries. Fakert. If there's a fence, I'm going to break through it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no dog is going to bark when you leave. That's a chiddush. And the truth is, it probably explains why Chazal tell us that in the schus of the dogs not barking, they were zocha to get the nevelos. Whenever you have an animal that drops dead, you give it to a dog, the pasuk says. And the Chazal say that in the schus that they didn't bark. Come on, nobody's barking over here. The answer is for the dog, it was a big nisayon. To not go to the, when Klal Yisrael's going through, not to go, bah! Go there. They broke their teva. We have to applaud them. We have to say to them, okay, you deserve something from this because you went against your metzias. That's what a dog is. Well, I had an idea. I thought I would look in Perek Shira this morning, and I got very nervous because it was going to slug up my whole shmooze. What do dogs say? There's Perek Shira. Chazal tell us that every animal has a song. I thought it would be interesting to see the dog's song. Bechesed Hashem. I found something, a big problem and a wonderful answer. Kolavim Omrim, the last part of Perek Shira, the grand finale. What do the dogs say? Bo nishtachave v'nichra nivracha lefnei Hashem Aseinu. Let us bow down to Hashem. Whoa, I had to come in this morning, I started sweating. Saying all these things about dogs, dogs scream out, let us bow to the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Baruch Hashem, I don't know, sometimes I buy Sfarim, I'm not sure why, and then I'm telling you I would buy it for triple the price at least after this Vart. Sfasayim Yishach. Rav David Oppenheim, who was, people don't know about, he was the Gadol Hadar, he was the Rav in Prague before the Noda Behuda. He was in the time of the Yavitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, and Rav Yonatan Eibishitz, they talked about him like, Pah! And I saw he had a Perush on Perek Shira, I bought it, it was worth every penny and then some. He says the following thing. He says, dogs are chutzpedik. Dogs are the last thing that would have a shaychus with Hashem. In fact, we find that Kayin, why was Kayin's carbon not accepted? Because Kayin had that type of brazenness. He came in there, brought his carbon. Hashem was not interested in such a carbon. And he says that a dog cannot have a shaychus to a carbon. So that's pashut, right? A pig can't. And a donkey can't. He says, no, a pig can and a donkey can. You know how we know? If you make a transaction and you buy a pig, the guy who gets the money, he can use the money from a pig for a carbon. No problem. It's not such a bad thing. Okay, you bought a pig, you take the money, you buy a carbon for it. Any animal in the book can have a shaychus to a carbon in exchange. There's only one animal that if you purchase, you go to the pet store and you buy a kelev, a dog, you cannot use the money for a carbon. I've known this halacha for years. I never would dare to say my own pshat. Rav David Oppenheim says, do you know why? Because a dog's metzias is the opposite. The whole idea of being subservient, being under something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the antithesis of a dog. That's the exact opposite of a dog. You can't use the money that was used for the selling of a dog, because the metzias of a dog is totally against what you're trying to achieve in a carbon. And he says that's why these dogs sing this song about davening to Hashem. You know why? They're saying, Hashem, save us from our crazy personalities. We know that we are just so out. but we're davening that you should fix us, that we shouldn't be so chutzpedik, that we shouldn't have no boundaries, that we should have a tikkun so that we can be part of the rest of the animal kingdom. So it's not a pshat that they're singing a song of what they are, it's singing what they have to become. They're totally mufka from Avodas Hashem. And unfortunately, our dar is a shtickle mufka. We're mufka because we act like dogs. We have no boundaries. And there's a geschmack to having no boundaries. I remember in the old days, snowboarding, right? The old days. A person wants to what's the geschmack of chutzpah? You know what the geschmack of chutzpah is? No limits and no boundaries. Freedom. It's tight to feel like you have to act a certain way. A guy wants to go. He wants to go off the trail. What's the geschmack of going off the trail? You know what the geschmack is? You can't tell me where I'm going. I'm going. Life is good. I dafka enjoy this because I'm not supposed to be here. The geschmack is that way. Drop me off with a helicopter over here where no man has been, and it's nuts, and that's it. It's my territory. I'm going to rule over here. There's a geschmack in that freedom. And the dog feeds off breaking all limits. He feeds off taking away the limitations. He's breaking all of the boundaries. Nobody knows their makom. If a person would know their place, right? Every person has a place. Their place has boundaries. Every person has a place, and you can't go into somebody else's place. It's a Mishnah. Hu haya omer, perek dalet, Mishnah Gimel, above us. Al tihi boz l'kol adam. Don't just scoff at people like they're nothing. Be mavazit people. She'ein l'cha adam she'ein lo shah. Every person has his time. Ve'ein l'cha dover she'ein lo makom. There's no thing in the world that doesn't have its place. What's the pshat in this Mishnah? So the Chassid Yaivitz, an early Rishon, a Rishon from the time of the Spanish Inquisition, says that what's the pshat over here? This is the yisod of having kavod for people. Understanding people's areas. This is his area. This is his area. This is my area. Every one of us has a makom. We have a place. And you can't encroach on my place. This is my place. This is my status. This is who I am. And somebody might be tempted to go in there and just erase it. No, you don't have a place. That's not your status over here. I want to bring you down. You're not an elderly man. You're a guy. I want to break it down. I want to say that you don't have a place. We're together. No, he has a makom in this world. A father is a father. A son is a son. An old man is an old man. A Talmud Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. A Rosh Yeshiva is a Rosh Yeshiva. A Rebbe is a Rebbe. And that's that. And none of those boundaries can be broken. Everyone has a makom. And people who don't realize this are buzz. They laugh. They make fun. They mock. Everyone. You know, I had a Rebbe, I still have a Rebbe, a Gavra Rabba. He's not on the radar. If he was on the bus, no one would know he's a Tzadik Yisod Olam, but he is. And once I was in a vodden of his many years ago, and he lamented to us. He said, he was out. He says, I don't know what's going to be with this generation. He said, I have a beard that's gray, definitely look old. He's in perfect, you know, health, Baruch Hashem. But he says, I went on a trip from Bnei Brak on a bus that was crowded. The whole way we went home, nobody offered to give me their seat. He says, don't think that I needed a seat. You think I care about a seat? I was happy to stand. It bothered me that it doesn't bother anybody. I have a white beard. I'm a zucking. You know what the word nar means? The word nar means minuar. It means empty. You shake it and nothing's in there. That's what a kid is. He's somebody who has no life experience, no chachma, no Torah, no Mesorah. He's a zero. He's sitting on that bus and he sees a zokin. He sees a man who's developed, who has life experience, who's been through things. And zokin means zekona. He acquired. Chazal darshan, a zokin means he's acquired in life. Even Chazal handle whether a guy. A guy, just Rashi explains, he's been through history. He's acquired something. And no one says he's different than you. I'm sitting here, he's healthy. Everyone would give him a seat if he was a cripple. You know why? Because that's not covered. You know what that is? That's now they're going to put me in Mishpacha. I give my seat to a cripple. That's something, you know, newsworthy. That's a chesed. I'm a bal chesed. But this guy is imperfect. Who is that guy? He's everything and you're nothing. But the dog breaks the mechitzas. He's not makir. I was once by Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg and I was shocked. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg's zetzal. I was there with my father. And we come in, it was Purim, we have the cute picture the guys could see in my house with my daughter's dressed like ducks with Rav Scheinberg, it's very geschmack. And fine, we go in there for the brachas, and my father gets a bracha. And then, my father seats me down to get a bracha. So I thought that's okay. Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg Zatal was going out of his kelim. He said, is it possible that a son sits and a father stands? Whoa. This is like way beyond my father just put me here. You know, there's only one seat over here. He's bringing me to get a bracha. You have to bend down. Look at these musagim. Do we even understand what Rav Scheinberg is talking about? He didn't say it's a din in kavod. He said, is it possible? How could you be okay when your father is standing, who gave you everything in life, and you're sitting? You're a little schmuck. Is it possible? Later, when I got older, I found out it was the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara says this, just Agav, is it possible that a father stands and a son sits? Is it possible? It's possible for us. We break every bound. Come on, whoa. If I would speak about things like this, I would lose my job, and rightfully so. It's like, whoa, way above our heads. And nevertheless, that's exactly what's going on. We have no understanding of roles. We have no understanding of makom, of people's place. We have no understanding what it warrants a parent just for having you. Yeah, okay, they did a lousy job. Too bad, you're here. And if you're here, there's a price to pay. Whenever they call, you better be ready. Whoa, that's too tough for me. I need to breathe a little bit here. But that's the metzias. I was once, this is a story, I'm not going to get into it, but I was once zocha to have Rav Shmuel Birnbaum Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. He was hiding out in my parents' apartment, and I was in charge of Rav Shmuel for the night. It was very exciting. We're not going to talk about it now. But for one night, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum stayed by my parents. He was hiding there. And then a couple days later, I went to Rav Gamliel Rabinovich's house with my father, who came in at that time. And somebody saw us, and he goes, hey! That's the people who had Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. And he takes out his iPhone, he gets a picture. I don't know, I got a picture from my parents' house. I don't know where that was from. Fine. And he shoves it in front of Rav Gamliel. He goes, look. Rav Gamliel looks at him. He takes the man. Rav Gamliel's a small man. And he has a nice lazy boy in his house that he sits on. He takes it and goes, obviously you're the Baal Bas. He throws him onto the lazy boy. The guy goes back. He's having a great time. He starts rocking. He doesn't have a clue what just happened. What are you doing? You go to a Rav's house, you storm in there, you want a bracha, you want this, no problem. You shove an iPhone in front of him, look at this, look at your own pictures. What are you doing to an Adam Gadol? Get out of here. You think that I was once in Rav Chaim's Gadolmobile, okay? I was in the Gadolmobile. You know, you always wonder what goes on in there. I was in there once. We got in there. I don't know what it's like with rock stars, you know, with like their faces like plastered on the, it's probably very similar. Can I ask you a question? My rabbeim, they walked with the stipler to the mikvah. They told me that nobody was even bothering the stipler at all. He was so accessible. The stipler was probably bigger than his son. I'm sure his son would say so too. Why was nobody bothering them? So you say, because they didn't love gedolim back then. Now, today, we go right through the window. You know what it is? We look at them like they're objects. We have no respect. There used to be a time where they understood the stipler was the stipler and his makom was so frightening, no one would dare go near him unless they had something intelligent to ask him. Now, can I have a bracha for my second cousin's dog's brother's? What are you doing? You're taking the time of an Adam Gadol for stupidity? One time someone told me they were on the bus with Rav Moshe Shapiro, and they came over and they asked Rav Moshe Akasha. And Rav Moshe looked at them, he goes, just because you see me on a bus doesn't mean you have to ask me a question. That's so mean. No, it's not. What are you, nuts? Let's think of a question to answer. It's not getting a picture with Mickey Mouse in Disneyland. This is an Adam Gadol who's thinking about everything important. Here I am, I want to just stick my nose in him for no reason. That's chinuch. That's why I was. That's what I got from my Rabbi Ramayshed, an understanding of Kavod, an understanding of Romulus. And the truth is, sometimes I see in yeshiva, Rabbeim come over to their bachram, and they talk to them, and this blows my mind. Call me old-fashioned, guys. We used to churn butter. Okay, it blows my mind. Like, they're like sitting, hey, Rebbe, what's going on? Yeah, what do you want from us? They're like totally fine sitting there. Like, how can they sit while their Rebbe comes over? No feeling of, yeah, Rebbe, they're being very respectful. They're totally fine. Is it possible that a Talmud sits when a Rebbe comes over? The answer is it's totally possible. You know why? Every person without fail is fine with certain types of people standing in front of them. Everyone, even the Gadol Hador. You know who they're okay with standing in front of them? Waiters. I've never seen anybody, no matter how great, be uncomfortable when a waiter's standing and you're sitting. He goes, can I take your order? You're sitting there? Yeah, I'll have a steak, I'll have fries. No one's bothered by that. Why? You know why? Because he's there to serve me. If he's there to serve me, then this is my turf. He's coming fine. There are no boundaries here. He's a waiter. My Rebbe is a waiter. He's here. I paid tuition. And if not, I'm a masmid, and it's a schus to have me in the shir. And when he comes over to me, yeah, I'll order a Coke too, Rebbe. I'll have a fries. No problem. It's foreign to us, but we're like dogs. We're mamish like dogs. How is somebody supposed to learn Torah like that? How is somebody supposed to be makabel from an earlier generation with an attitude like that? And the one-liners that I hear from Rabbeim who are too embarrassed or they're too sensitive to their Talmidim. I cannot believe that Talmidim would have would break that boundary, would go there. How could somebody even think to say things like that? It totally undermines the whole system of Messiah. There's no fear, no limits, no boundaries. Everything is crossed. Ad ein shir. And the truth is, that's how a dog feels. You ever see people taking their dogs out for a walk? So it looks like they're walking the dog, and it's not. You know what the dog's thinking? I'm walking this guy. They're in front. That's exactly what's going on. The dog says, this is great. I'm taking Rebbe everywhere. I'm taking him here. I'm taking my parents over there. Life is good. No one informs him that, you know, the other guy feels different. No. That's his opinion. I'm always walking first. Wherever I go, this guy's going. That's the metzias. The metzias is that we're margish, that we're the center of the world, and everything that says differently than that, we want to be mavatel. The things people will do during Bekiyashir, they're off limits, they're out of bounds. It's like, pow, barking like dogs. You're in shir, you're being makabel from someone who at least is moser nefesh to not spend enough time with his family because he's busy trying to help you. At least that much. Forget the kavod haTorah element. And then a person has the chutzpah, the azus, to ruin the shir with his stupidity. It shows absolutely no respect for a person. Simply put, a professor. When a professor goes into a room, there is never someone who disrupts the class. You know why? So you'll say because they paid a lot to go there. I'm sure that's true also. But there's a certain understanding of roles. Of roles. And that's for a davar chol. For something that's totally vain. And more than that, there's a respect for the workplace. There's a respect. A guy outside is mopping the floor, okay? Do you know that when someone's mopping the floor, they are kings of the floor? That is right. When somebody is mopping the floor, they rule. Do you know why? Because that's their job, and this is what they came to do. When someone just goes through that, like, hey, shalom. You know what you're doing? You're taking the guy and saying, hello, you don't exist. You're nothing. You've just been doing this. Look at my little black things over there. Make my name. At least we all have to get somewhere. In this yeshiva, there's not another entrance. You're stuck. But you go b'hachna. You go, slicha, slicha. And then you do one of these things that at least shows you're trying, you know, you're doing it. But nothing? Nothing? Just waltzing right through that? You're saying you're a zero. You're an absolute zero. What you do? How does a person do that to a Ben Adam? Basic Derech Eretz, the Beis Halevi, stood outside when his Ozeret was singing. So you'll say it was a chesed, you know, let her sing, she's enjoying. I think that that's just basic decency he's trying to bring out. Here's a woman, she's trying to do her job, she's enjoying a tune. If I come in, she's gonna stop. It's a respect for somebody. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, his cab driver, said that Rav Shlomo Zalman brought him a whole thing of Hasidish tunes that he said to try out. Why? Because Rav Shlomo Zalman understood that a cab driver needs to listen to music to do his job. So what he tried to do was convince him that while he was in the car, could we listen to something else? You think that Rav Shlomo Zalman needed to listen to Hasidish music? It was an out of respect of breaking a boundary. You don't just tell somebody who's functioning that way to just be mavatal that thing. And more so, the pasuk in Yeshaya says, what's the real azus? It says, ish levatzo ligzol l'shara'am. The kelev steals. So we'd say, what does stealing have to do with chutzpah? The answer is, most of us don't have a taiva to steal, but we have a taiva to be like a dog in chutzpah, and we take things from people. People take the milk. The milk is supposed to be there for coffee. Yeah, you know who it's supposed to be for coffee for? Everyone except for me. Do 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 do. 5 cups. Do 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 do. Everyone's watching the guy. The guy has no shame. Don't you realize that so many people get stuck with black coffee? Yeah, but it's cramping my style. Get a life. Shut him down. It's a new one. Shut him down. Everyone who's around that guy should take the milk and pour it on his head. What are you doing? Are you part of a team? You don't like to feel, I'm sorry, you'd like to have more milk with your protein shake. Shkaya, get out of here. You're breaking a line. A couple years ago, there was a group of people who bought a board game together. And two guys were playing the game who were not the people who bought it. One of the guys who bought the game says, can I play next? You're a non-factor, get out. What? How could somebody be, is it possible that such a thing could happen in our generation? It's possible. I know it's your game, but who are you? You're nothing. This is my mukum. This is my place. People borrow things from people. People borrow things. They go into rooms without asking. Why? Because I'm free. For sure I'll be okay with that. For sure I'll be okay with that. People go into people's room at 12:45 at night looking for tobacco with turning on the lights. You think it comes from a desire to cause pain for people? No. It's just, oh, really? You exist? Sorry. I'm free. I'm roaming through. I'm going out of bounds. I'm snowboarding through that. You're in my way. Such a metzias is pnei hador kipnei hakelev. Pnei hador kipnei hakelev. Stealing things from people because I can't say that it's not mine. Gezel Shena, taking away people's sleep, borrowing from people. This is the metzias of the dar. But whoever gets out of this in any level, Rav Hozai, is the hero. Whoever shows a mashahu of respect towards the different roles, the different generations, the Rebbe, somebody who does things for you, someone who's aware, is winning this game. And be'etzem, none of the Yiddish and Neshamas have a shaychus with this. But the pnei hadar is k'pnei hakelef. Everything in the entire list of this Mishnah, everything, Zekenim Yamdum Ibnektanim Ben Manovel Aviv, it goes on. We should be Zeiche. All of us have this cough, but we have to kill this. We have to kill this Mida. Ezehu Mechubit Amechabit Zebrias. The only person who's dignified in the world is above these things, understands his boundaries. We should all be Zeiche Bezos Hashem. Thank you.